following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
Hey family, and welcome to today's Refuge Daily. Again, for those maybe who don't know me, my name is David. I am the high school pastor here at Refuge, and I have been for the past 3.5 years. It's been an amazing blessing, full of ups and downs, just like life. That's just what happens. And today I get to bring the word, or I get to bring a devo for you guys today. And over the past couple, I want to say maybe in the past month or so, when I've been doing these, I've been going over different things that the Lord has been revealing to me, and just reminded me on the topic of like thankfulness. I'm just being thankful for the time that God has given me, right? As I see my son, who's about 1.5 years now, as I see him grow, and as you see him to start learning to do different things, and I'm like, man, like, where has the time gone? I talked to you guys about how my wife is pregnant, by the time you were seeing this, I would have already had my second son, Aaron, who we just have welcomed into the world. And so this idea of like, man, God, you've given us time. I want to steward it well. I want to use the time you have given me, and I want to use it to the best of my ability to glorify you. And so I've been going over these different topics of thankfulness, right? Well, today I want to do something a little bit differently. In the high school, every Sunday, I still meet with a small group of high schoolers that come or that can't come in person. So we've been doing services for them online, and that's been good. But we started this series a couple of weeks ago called Default. And the premise behind it is, man, every single day things happen to us, or situations or circumstances that kind of come our way, they happen, and we tend to respond a specific way. And we're calling this our default response, right? I talk to the kids and say, you know, if somebody came up to you randomly and, you know, hit you in the face, maybe your first response would be, I love that person and I want to pray for them. But I'd say the majority of people would have a response of, I want to retaliate, I want to push back, I want to hit back, or I want to hit harder, right? Not saying that response is good, but I'm just saying that would be a default response. And so we've been looking at different defaults that we have, default responses that we have, and we've really been seeing how the Bible should inform those responses, and we ask the question, can those responses change? Instead of being somebody who responds in fear to things that I don't understand, God, would you help me be somebody who responds in faith? And so as we've been looking over the past couple of weeks, these different default settings, I guess you could say, this past week, we talked about the default response of listening. Of listening before speaking. And man, even though there's a ton that the Bible says on this, we can kind of be people who don't do, that we're not very good at this. Here's a couple. I'm just going to fire off a couple verses right here. Proverbs 18:13 says, spouting off before listening to facts is both shameful and foolish. Proverbs 12:15, fools think their own way is right, but the wise, they listen to others. Proverbs 18:2, fools have no interest in understanding. They only want to air their own opinions. In James, he put it this way in James chapter 1, verse 19 and 20. Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. And so we spent time and we looked at those different passages in Scripture. And then what we did is we ventured over to the book of Job. And for any of you that have read Job, you know it's a doozy. You know there's a lot of different things in that book. There's a lot of different. Some people have struggled with the book of Job because of the moral or the ethical dilemmas that they think are that are in this book. And but really what I wanted to focus on was, you know, you see Job, you see that he was a God-fearing man, loved the Lord, you know, went above and beyond for his family, offering sacrifices for them on the off chance that maybe they sinned. And in a moment, within a couple of chapters, as you read the book of Job, you see that everything, almost everything that Job had was completely taken from him, completely. And so now here's a man that loved the Lord, feared the Lord, served the Lord, was a great example to the community around him. And now everything has been stripped from him. And you see Job and he's just absolutely in anguish. And what you end up seeing is you have three friends of Job. You have Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar. And they hear what Job has gone through. They found out what happened to Job. And they decide that they're going to go see him. I'm going to read this. It's in Job chapter 2, verse 11. It says, when Job's three friends, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar, heard about all the troubles that had come upon him, they set out from their homes and met together by agreement to go and sympathize with him and comfort him. So they're being good friends, right? They hear, all right, our buddy Job is really, really going through stuff right now. We're going to go and we're going to sympathize and we're going to comfort him. That's the whole point of this journey of us going to be with him. When they saw him, meaning when they saw Job from a distance, they could hardly recognize him. They began to weep aloud and they tore their robes and sprinkled dust on their heads. They sat on the ground with him for 7 days and seven nights. No one said a word to him because they saw how great his suffering was. Now this, I feel like, again, if any of you have read the book of Job, I feel like Job's three friends get a pretty bad rap. And before we just condemn, you know, the response or condemn the actions of Job's three friends, I just want to say in chapter two, where his three friends see Job and they see that he is in, you know, in anguish and in hurting, they make a point to go journey to be with him, to sympathize with him, to comfort him. And man, I gotta say, if any of you have ever been in a, you know, a time where you have lost people like Job has, not just jobs, although losing jobs is, you know, can be in careers can be insanely brutal. But Job lost, I mean, everything. He lost almost absolutely everything. Family members, job, like status, so many different things. And Job's friends, I think what they do so well, and it's just in these short verses, but they practice the habit or practice the discipline of presence, I'm going to call it. And they just go and they sit. It says, I'm going to read it again. It says that they, then they sat on the ground with him for 7 days and seven nights. No one said a word to him because they saw how great his suffering was. Man, sometimes there's times where maybe you and I will go through something and it's like words. We're not ready for words, but what we can receive is actions. When somebody is willing to come and sit next to me when I'm in my deepest pit and just sit with me, no agenda, just be present. I call that again, the discipline of presence, right? Of just it's as if you are being the tangible presence of the Lord to me when I'm in that spot. And so they do that, right? And I just thought, and I was even talking to my students, I'm like, what a great example for us at times to just sit with people that need, you know, that need somebody. Just sit with them, practice presence and love them by your actions, right? Well, unfortunately, as I said, you know, Job's friends get a bad rap, and they didn't get a bad rap from that, but they get a bad rap from what happens after this point. Job in chapter 3, he finally speaks. In read chapter 3, it is heavy. Job is speaking out of complete anguish, out of, I would say, depression is probably putting it lightly. He is speaking out of just a heart and a soul that is crushed and discouraged beyond belief. And he pretty much says things like, I wish I wasn't born. Not I wish I wasn't here now, but I wish I never would have been born or created. Right? And he go in almost in a poetic fashion, he talks about how he just wishes none of this would have ever taken place ever because of the amount of anguish he's feeling. Chapter 4 rolls around. And again, as we talked earlier about default, having our default be listening before speaking, This is where Job's three friends could have listened to Job, put their arm around Job and said, Job, we love you. We're here for you. And allowed Job to mourn and allowed him to go through that process, right? But what Eliphaz does, his friend, is he goes and he thinks it's a good time to correct Job's theology and pretty much says, Job, listen, man, I don't really know how to break this to you. And obviously I'm paraphrasing, right? There's no bros in the Bible, but I don't know how to break this to you, bro, but this happened to you because you're in sin. You know, whether you know it or not, there must be some sort of sin or a hidden sin in your life, because God doesn't punish the righteous, or no bad things happen to the righteous. It only happens to the wicked people. And so now, on top of Job feeling absolutely everything, having the feeling that the weight of the world just crushing him as he has lost everything, now his closest friends, who started well, I would argue to say, with sitting and just being present with him, has now become added weight upon Job. And now Job, instead of just going through these things, now he has his three closest friends who are heaping on weight. You know, and I got to think, man, there's been times in my life where I have probably acted or spoken in a way that Job's friends did. And man, as I was talking to the students this week, I was saying, you know, even if his friends were correct, which they weren't, by the way, but if they were correct, was that the proper time to come and to talk to Job and just place all that stuff upon him? No. You know, there's so much power in listening. It's like, it's crazy. And you know, for all of us, it's like, even outside of the church, we know that listening is a big deal. You know, there's this quote. I'm going to see if I can find it. Check this out. It's been said before that being heard is so close to being loved that for the average person, they are almost indistinguishable. I'm going to read that again. It's been said before that being heard is so close to being loved that for the average person, they are almost indistinguishable. Guys, this is why, for us, whoever's listening, this is why the person you feel the most connected to right now in your life is the person that listens to you. It's true. It's just full on true. If somebody just shows up, if one of my friends comes in and were to come through this door right now in the office and sit down and say, David, I feel like you've been going through something. Do you need to talk? I'd be like, yeah, bro. And I would talk. And if that person just sat down and just listened to me, what that conveys is love. What that conveys is I'm here with you. What that conveys is I got your back. I think today for the church, we have become people that are too focused on speaking and not allowing others to speak. I think we've become too focused on speaking and we don't listen. I'm not saying that's true for every person. I'm not saying that's true for even Refuge as a church, but I would say that is true for church at large. I don't think we're people that listen that well. And with the Bible, when it talks about listening so much, and as we read the thing in all the different verses in Proverbs, it straight up said, like, listening is wise, but the fools, they don't have any interest in listening. They just want to air their own opinions, right? They just want to air their own opinions. I'm so convinced in my mind that we can live out the reality of the gospel and authenticate the message of the gospel by being present with people and listening. Listen, whether we agree with them or not, listening is something I believe the Lord, and I believe the Bible backs this up. Listening is something that the Lord calls us as believers to be about. We're called to be people who listen. Listening to people we disagree with does not mean we are approving of their lifestyle or of their sin. All that is conveying to that person is we are willing as believers to be the tangible presence of God to them. We are showing them that God is willing to listen and talk and sit with anybody. We see this all throughout Jesus's ministry, right? You had the religious leaders and they were freaking out over Jesus. Why are you eating and sitting with tax collectors? Like, don't you know those are the sinners? Those are the tax collectors. Those are people we don't associate with, right? And Jesus is like, dude, like, no, I didn't come for the righteous, right? You know, you think you're righteous, whatever. I didn't come for you. I came for them. I came for people that need a savior. Man, you know, I think the call to listen is such an important thing today. You look at where we're at right now, 2020, election season is upon us. Wherever you find yourself, if right, left, Democrat, wherever you're at, what I see today, and I know you see it as well, is there is a unwillingness, that there's something in us as a culture right now that refuses to even enter into a conversation or allow somebody else to speak, and we just listen. I'm not saying we agree, I'm not saying, but just listening. Man, you know, and I gotta be honest, and you know, this is gonna be very telling. After I studied for the message that I gave the students, I turn off my laptop, I close it, and I'm like, babe, I talk to my wife, I'm like, I'm done, you know? And she's like, okay, that's cool. Can you go get me a thank you card from the other room? I just want to write a thank you note. I'm like, babe, you got it. I go into the room, and by the time I get in the room, I go, what did she ask me? And I realized to myself, David, you just studied for however many hours, right, about listening, and as soon as you closed your laptop and you had a conversation with your wife, you let your wife speak, but you did not listen. And I was immediately hit with like, dude, like, for real, Lord, like, I need you. I need you, Jesus. I think that kind of can describe some of us, how quickly we can be people who learn something, study it, even sit under a study and be like, man, praise God, that is so good. And then we walk away, we forget, and we do not implement what we learned. Family, I pray that we would be people who are marked by compassion, especially during this season. I pray that we'd be people who are willing to listen, even to people that we don't necessarily agree with. Why? Because I believe that is what Jesus did. I believe that's the way the Bible would inform us and show us how to live. Because by our action of just sitting with somebody, practicing the habit or the discipline of presence, and listening to somebody else, you were conveying without your words, I love you, I'm here for you. And I feel like once that has been conveyed, gospel opportunities just flood that situation. You authenticate the message and then you preach the message, and it's a double whammy, and it's amazing. So guys, church, family, I pray that you would be people who listen. I pray that for myself, that we would be people who listen, and not just to others, ultimately to the Lord as well, to his voice, to his spirit. Let me pray for you guys and myself. Father, we thank you for who you are. Jesus, we thank you that you're a God who listens to us. That is amazing. Lord, I pray that you would make your church a church who's compassionate. I pray that we'd be a light in the dark, especially during this time, God, where there's just a lot of animosity everywhere. God, would you just raise up your church, your people, to be the light that this culture needs, God. This culture needs you, Jesus. Be with us, Father. We thank you. We love you. And we ask these things in your name. Amen. Amen. God bless you, Refuge. See you next time.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Set free.